This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I'm glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program encourages you, blesses you, and perhaps even challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that is given there to contact me, and we would appreciate any comments you might want to make on the program, any questions you might have, any prayer requests that you might want to leave. And again, this program can be found there and can be re-listened to there, as well as the website has a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. And there's testimonies and questions and answers as well on that website, bdcministries.com. Now, today we are going to look at Mark. The last time we looked at Luke, and it appears that I was not thinking straight, but we should have been looking at Mark and gone to Luke this time. So we'll go back to Mark and look at the Gospel of Mark. It's not a gospel, frankly, that I often preach from when I'm preaching the gospel, but there are some very important aspects to Mark that we should look at. Now, remember, what we're doing is we're going through the Bible and trying to put the different books of the Bible in their context. And we've looked at the fact that we have an Old Testament that is written for us and a New Testament that is written to us. And we've looked at how that the Old Testament is really an illustration of New Testament truth, and that the New Testament, particularly the epistles, explain the Old Testament. We've looked at the fact that we should never let simple truth of the Bible be confused by the more difficult passages. In other words, if the plain sense makes sense, we seek no other sense. And we've been looking at some of these principles as we go along. And so now we've looked at Matthew, which is the gospel of the king, and shows how that the Lord had the right to be the king of Israel through his lineage going back to David through Joseph. And then in Luke, we saw the maternal, what appears to be the maternal lineage of the Lord going back to Adam, and shows that he's the Son of Man. But in Mark, we have no lineage. And Mark appears to be a gospel written for the Romans. And while I wouldn't want to limit it to Roman soldiers, I think particularly a Roman soldier would appreciate the gospel of Mark, because Mark is the gospel of the servant. He always does what he is supposed to do immediately. And so when we come to the gospel of Mark, we're going to find out that if you were look at the old King James Version, you would see the word straightway coming up 19 times. But the word straightway is probably better translated immediately. And so when we come to Mark 1 and verse 12, for example, if we're to read this from the New King James, it says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And that was for the temptation that proved that he was real gold, that he was really the Son of Man. It was not designed to see if he could sin. It was designed to prove that he couldn't sin. And so he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I think that's something we need to remember right now. We often look at trials and we say, well, why would the Lord allow this? Well, if we look at Job and if we look at the Lord's experience in the wilderness, the Lord allows those trials oftentimes to prove that we are true worshipers of Him, and that we are people that are loyal to Him, not because of what He can do for us, but because of who He is, and because of the fact that we have found out that He, as our Creator, loved us, and even as sinners, He sent His Son to die for us, and we're loyal to Him through thick and thin, so to speak. And so at Mark 1 and verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness. Mark 1 and verse 21 says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately, straightway it would be in the King James Version, immediately on the Sabbath, He entered the synagogue and taught. So what He does immediately. And it's interesting that often we have a tendency to make excuses when we know the Lord wants us to do something. And there are times when we do need to wait and make sure that we're following the right path and doing the right thing for the right reason. But when we know what God wants from us and we know what the Lord wants from us, oh, we should do it, and we should do it immediately. And one of the things that we should do immediately is found in Mark 1 and verse 15. I'm going to look at a few key verses in the Gospel of Mark. And again, remember that Mark was written probably by John Mark. And so we wouldn't look at him as one of the 12 apostles. But nevertheless, he did serve the Lord. And some say that he got most of what he wrote down from Peter, but it's still divinely inspired. And so when we look at Mark 1 and verse 15, we read these words, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The kingdom of God is real, is near. The kingdom of God is right by you. Well, the kingdom of God is always associated with a king, and the king was here. The king ended up being rejected and crucified, but nevertheless, the admonition, the command is repent and believe the gospel. Now, when we look at that statement, repent and believe the gospel, we have to recognize that, and I'm going to read another passage, that repentance is probably misunderstood by most of us. Mark 2 and verse 14 helps us understand this, where it says, "As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Now, when he says, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance," we have to understand, first of all, that the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity. But there are people who think they are righteous. There are people who, frankly, try to do right. They try to keep the ceremonial law in the Old Testament. If they're Jews, they try to keep the commands of the New Testament by going to church and being baptized and taking the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. But the problem is that many people think they're righteous, and that means that they have no need of a Savior, just as a well person often thinks they have no need of a doctor. And he did not come to call the righteous, or those who thought they were righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I'm glad for that, because I'm one of those sinners that he called to repentance. But my point that I want to make has to do with this word repentance. Now, we know in the Bible that our salvation is by faith. In Acts chapter 16, when the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" he wasn't told to repent. He was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he would be saved. And he was told that if his household believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be saved. And it was interesting that he and his whole house heard the gospel that night, and they all responded to it, and they all expressed their faith in the Lord Jesus by being baptized. But the command was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we were to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, we would read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, if salvation is by faith, and if in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's by repentance, and if in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, it's by repentance, then we must misunderstand what it means to repent and believe the gospel in Mark chapter 1. Some would think repent is one thing that we must do, and belief is another thing that we must do. But I think the better way to translate this is repent in order to believe in the gospel. And I am firmly convinced that repentance, which really means a change of mind, has to do with the change of mind that allows us to take God at his word. Some of us need to change our mind with regard to our sinnership. Some of us need to change our mind with regard to the truth of the Bible. Some of us need to change our mind with regard to the fact that you can be saved for sure and know it. Repentance is getting rid of whatever is hindering you from believing the gospel. And most of us are trying to tell God how to save us. And then if we truly repent, we're finding out that God will tell us how to be saved. And if we have believed the gospel, then we've had the change of mind that allows us to do that. We by nature, we argue with God. And we need to quit that arguing. We need to take God at his word. We need to believe that God is right and we are wrong. So this probably means repent ye and believe the gospel. Probably means repent, and then you will be able to believe the gospel. Now, with regard to the Lord, he's talking to a people that, by and large, had turned away from the heartfelt worship of God. In many cases, they had turned to idolatry. And in the cases where they hadn't turned to idolatry, they had turned to self-righteousness. And when he talks about repentance and explains the result of repentance is the same as the result of faith. The result of repentance, as he talks to soldiers and as he talks to different categories of people, is to act right or to do good works. And so we come right back to the fact that James says, "You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." And so when we repent and believe the gospel, we will be amongst those who have been made new in Christ. And according to Ephesians chapter 10, we will then be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So I'm not saying that repent has nothing to do with our behavior, but our behavior is the result of it. And our trust in Christ is the result of it. And I look at repentance as one side of the coin and belief as the other side. And if we are believing, truly believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have truly repented. With whatever issue we had with God, we've dealt with it. And if we've truly repented, we have truly believed the gospel. Now, I hope I've made that clear to you. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So when we look at this, he has not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And so in this passage, the servant says that or the servant does what he does immediately. And with regard to this command, repent ye and believe the gospel, we need to do it immediately as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened, bless our lesson, and bless this country during this troublesome time. We give thanks for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen.